Oh, hi, Jim.
Oh, hi, Aaron.
So we went to see The Disaster Artist tonight. The movie about The Room, written, directed, produced, starring Tommy Wiseau. And this one was directed by James Franco, starring James Franco. Not written, produced, or written.
Ah, shit.
It's actually based on the novel The Disaster Artist. Was written by Tommy Wiseau's friend and collaborator, Greg Sestero. What did you think of this movie?
I kind of went into it expecting not to like it, and I came out thinking that was way better than I had hoped.
Okay.
There are, like, some things that I wish they would have gone into a little bit more, maybe a little more of the pathos and less of the jokey, but overall I think it had a really... It had a better balance than I expected, and it had more heart than I expected, too.
Yeah, I think this is the nearly perfect form of the thing they were trying to do.
Because
you're right.
It's a really hard thing to do.
I was wanting a little bit more prying into the pathos, but then that would have fundamentally made it a less fun film.
Absolutely.
And it probably would have pissed off Tommy and that
I kind of wanted a little more of the wrestler in this, but but what they gave me was satisfying on a different level, which I really enjoyed.
So before we go further, I want to talk about our background with the Room. You and I were roommates when this thing started really taking off.
We had one bedroom.
We had one
bedroom. You set up a curtain.
Yep. You helped me dye my hair on a regular basis. Did this thing, I'm like, man, have you heard about this, The Room? Because we got on a kick of watching bad films. We watched Birdemic and a bunch of other shit. And we tried to watch this twice. We tried to watch the Riff Trax version of this, and it just repelled every effort because we'd always get to... There's this sequence early on in the film of like three back-to-back terrible sex sequences.
Yeah, just like, extended, longer than you'd ever want.
It's not even fun.
No.
And we didn't know this because Cecil and I pushed through this years later, but like if you get past this first 30 minutes, the movie gets sublime. Mm-hmm. There's it's almost gothic in how terrible it is, and it can be a lot of fun. You mentioned that you might take a stab at watching The Room, did you?
I did. I watched it all today.
I would have bet 2 months' pay that you didn't.
I watched the whole thing today.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did you really?
And I have to say, the movie was better for it. The Disaster Artist is better for it. Because if I hadn't seen that, it still would have worked on some level, but definitely I would not have gotten any of the jokes.
If you like this film, I think you should stick around for the after credits because there's a bunch of shot. They do side-by-side, shot-for-shot, about 3 or 4 minutes of the film. And there's a lot of laughs because I think a lot of people that have not seen The Room assume some of this shit was exaggerated. And like, I have no doubt that some of this shit was exaggerated, but nothing about The Room with them making it and filming it and how the actual shots looked and played out. It was like beat for beat. And there's like some of the credits, like, It's James Franco doing as Tommy Wiseau doing like a karaoke version of some of the songs that are on the credits. And then at the very end of the credits.
Oh, I didn't stay that long.
At the very end of the credits, there's an extended scene of James Franco as Tommy Wiseau interacting with the real Tommy Wiseau as if they were at a contemporary like 1999, 2000 era rooftop party in LA.
Oh, wow.
And it was really good. It was really good. But I just think this thing is super fun.
Yeah.
Like, and I think it reminded me a lot of Ed Wood. Have you seen Ed Wood?
I have, yeah. Long time ago, though. I don't remember much of it.
And there's, like, two critical differences. Ed Wood was as much about him trying to get financing because he had to lie, beg, cheat, and steal to get everything he got. And him trying to balance the needs of those, you know, contributors and his desire to make a terrible film as an artist was fundamentally different from Tommy because he's... You know, apparently
he doesn't have those constraints.
Apparently, he just has infinite money, which we'll talk about in the spoiler section. And the other thing is, like, I guess Ed Wood, as portrayed by Johnny Depp, is a much more kind of a sweet and light character, whereas Tommy could get dark.
Yeah,
and Tommy, there's I don't. What's the deal with Tommy? Like, that maybe this is better spoiler fodder.
I think so, yeah, because we're going to have to talk about the movie.
Because he's just so, he's such a fucking contradiction.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, and there's so many famous people in the movie. Like, Sharon Stone came out of nowhere to do a cameo. Judd Apatow is in here. Like, there's a lot of, like, did you know that Alison Brie is married to Dave Franco? James Franco's younger brother who played Greg?
No.
Yeah, they just got married this year.
Okay.
Crazy. Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
James Franco's little brother is married to Alison Brie.
It's almost like the...
Who is also in this film.
The circle of Hollywood is kind of all connected, and you got to know people and marry people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bryan Cranston just walked on and was Malcolm in the Middle era. Bryan Cranston was pretty sweet. I can't say enough good things about this movie. It just made me really happy to watch it. And the audience was fucking in it. It was a packed house. Like,
oh, no, it plays to, like, if you are a fan of The Room, you've probably seen this before we did or something. But if you're a fan of The Room and you're into kind of the culture of it, you definitely need to see this. Don't skip it, because whatever your preconceptions are about it, oh, I don't like James Franco or I don't like Seth Rogen. No, go see it. They do it justice.
James Franco is kind of like, I used to hate James Franco.
There was a lot to hate about James Franco until he did Spring Breakers, and then his career really turned around.
But he's kind of one of the more interesting actors going around now. Between his shit and The Deuce and The Disaster Artist and Spring Breakers, like he's done a lot of like interesting work.
Yeah.
And he's not really afraid to kind of like. I mean, it seems like a genius idea to make a biopic based on the time, but that still is probably pretty risky.
I think it's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
Because I said, you don't. It's weird, the mix of like affection and ridicule that comes across in the entire community around Tommy Wiseau. You know, it's not just like, oh, well, this movie wants to take punches at him. No, it also respects and loves him in a weird way, you know?
And it's similar, again, it's very similar to the tension of Ed Wood. There's something endearing, but there's also something very pathetic, and like the movie teeters between, because I think if you go too far in either direction, it stops working. But somehow it continues to thread the needle and keep it light, keep it moving. It's also a very tight film. It's like maybe 90 minutes long.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't believe I looked down when we were getting out after I stayed for all the credits. Shit, we sat down to, I think, start recording this podcast at 9:30.
Yeah.
And that's with trailers and all that kind of crap. So, it's a great film. I think any lover of cinema, because there's a lot about, I mean, it's a funhouse version of the Hollywood dream, but there's a lot of, you know.
Yeah, it's almost like the
passion for filmmaking.
Hollywood dream, you know, like a guy who made a movie so bad that he became famous for it.
Yeah.
It is a version of the Hollywood dream.
And I swear to God, I saw...
There's more than one way to make it, I guess.
I saw him and Franco, Tommy and James on, I think, Jimmy Kimmel.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, from Tommy's whole POV throughout the promotion of this movie, I feel like his attitude is like, this is all according to plan.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's
my
the
question.
Thing
my biggest with, question like, is, when was that plan formed? How did that plan come about? Because
he's full of shit. I don't believe him. I'm just saying.
Absolutely. I don't think it was ever his plan, but at some point he realized, oh, there's a plan here. It just wasn't my plan.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go with that plan because that's a really good plan.
Yeah.
When did that happen? And I don't think it happens as the movie portrays it. I can't imagine that it happens that way.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that, I guess.
Yeah. Because I get things. I don't know a lot culturally about The Room. I just found out like 2 weeks ago that The Room has kind of become the Rocky Horror picture of this kind of generation that people do the midnight shows with the synchronized stuff. And like, I kind of really want to do one of those sometime this year. I was looking for, there was the theater that used to do them in Cincinnati, but as far as I can tell, they stopped in 2015.
Hmm.
My big hope is this is a huge hit. And some of these indie, because we got a decent number of indie theaters here in Cincy.
We could use our ill-gotten fame and fortune on Bald Move to set our own up.
What?
Rent out a theater.
Are you suggesting Bald Move puts
I'm
on
saying,
a midnight showing of
I
The
think
Room?
We have the pull.
Wow. Wow, 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 Jim. All right. I like where your head's at with this. Should we move on to trailer talk?
I do want to say the audience there was, let's say, I don't know how old they were, but if I had to guess, 29 to 34.
It's very
like a demographic there for sure.
It's very late millennial to mid Gen X crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think
I saw no old people. I saw no young people.
Nope.
Maybe I think one kid with his mom there.
Yeah.
Like kid, and I say that generously. He was probably like 16.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it's a very specific crowd that it draws.
Okay, well, let's talk about trailers. Do you think this will make a lot of money?
Huh. It'll make more than The Room made in its opening weekend.
$1,800.
I think
bucks
it already has, judging by the
on
crowded
a $6
theater
million budget.
Yeah.
Do you think it'll get any Oscar buzz?
Oh, that's such a loaded, like, how do you give an Oscar to someone who's purposely doing a bad job? Because they do such a convincing bad job.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same question with Ed Wood, if I recall correctly, made a lot. Who plays Bela Lugosi? It was Martin Landau. I think he got an Academy Award for his playing of a washed up heroin addicted Bela Lugosi. By the way,
I'm going to say
everyone should go see Ed Wood. Yeah. Ed Wood is an incredible film by Tim Burton and Johnny Depp, and there's just a ton of people, ton of famous people in it. Bill Murray's in that fucking movie.
Is he? God,
yeah,
I don't
he
remember
is
that.
Yeah, it's
is he one of the money men or something?
No, he's like a deeply closeted gay man who's just a hanger on. He just does acting.
Just hangs around the set?
No, he does acting. He's just one of that's the other thing. It's like Tommy Wiseau didn't seem like he rolled very deep.
No.
He rolled extremely shallow.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about him. He did not have any friends, and that's why he took to
Greg. That's
so
another
quickly
contrast to Ed Wood, because Ed Wood had like a whole posse of people, of weird, eccentric people doing weird, eccentric things in L.A.
I think the reason this doesn't have a shot for like Academy Award kind of stuff is because it's almost like too funny. It's almost like a standard Seth Rogen thing, and it doesn't lean far enough into the pathos. I think a lot of people are going to ding it for that because Tommy Wiseau's character is barely explored. And I know it's he himself is a bit of an enigma.
Right.
So it's hard to explore a man who doesn't
like
leave anything on the
there,
table.
There, you know?
There's got to be, though, right? There has to be something there to drive you to make a movie like this.
Yeah.
There's something inside of him, but what it is, he won't tell us. He tried to tell us. He tried to tell us with this fucking movie.
Yeah.
It's just, it was so poorly executed that we could not possibly understand it.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I can't wait to get into the spoiler section because there's just a whole lot of theories behind the making of and stuff that I've been kind of absorbing today idly. So are we getting ready to talk trailers? I forget.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. It's like so I got there a little bit late, but I think the first trailer was for Game Night. Does that sound right?
No, the first trailer was actually for a movie called Cock Blockers.
What?
Starring John Cena and some other people where he
blocks cocks,
drinks a beer with his ass. I don't know. It looked like maybe the worst thing I've seen all year.
Okay.
It looked fucking terrible.
20 years from now, Disaster Artist Part 2. Did John Cena chug a bud?
The problem is it's too well made. Like, people can actually act. It's just a terrible movie.
So next trailer was for Game Night, is Rachel McAdams and Jason Bateman, who's a spy, maybe? What's the premise of this movie?
So the beginning of the trailer starts with essentially like Clue or like House on Haunted Hill or something. You know, they're all invited over for a murder mystery. And the person who's conducting the murder mystery, it just so happens, gets taken hostage, like gets actually captured by real killers and drug out of the house, and they get mixed up in a real situation.
Okay.
At least that's what the trailer wants me to believe, and I don't know if that's true or not.
I thought the second half of this trailer seemed very entertaining and funny.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know the rest of
right.
it, but, like, she gives him, at some point, a rubber squeaky toy to bite on for, like, the pain of doing self-surgery, and him.
Yep.
You know, it's a standard ripping into a guy without anesthesia, except for now he's making these pathetic speeches. I thought it looked kind of funny.
Yeah, there were some pretty funny things.
Probably not a bald movie. Yeah. You know what might be a bald movie? Shape of Water.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Which I believe is a Hellboy sequel or prequel. It's the origin story of Abe Sapien. Yeah.
Really?
And I think it's going to dovetail
into...
Oh, that
instantly makes me less excited. I thought this was going to be something...
You don't like Hellboy?
No, it's not that I don't like Hellboy. It's just like, I thought this was going to be something like super interesting and unique, and it might still be. I don't know.
Yeah.
But... I don't want it to just be a fucking comic book movie.
I don't think... I mean, it didn't feel...
No,
it feels nothing like Hellboy. And again, the fact that it's a prequel where this looks like it's before he joins up with the beer... I think it's set up to do the David Harbour.
Okay.
I think it's set up to like kind of lead into that.
Gotcha.
But then again, I don't know, because I started to do some reading and it was mixed whether it's like... I don't know. Like, is the new Hellboy movie attached to Del Toro?
I have no idea.
Because I thought I read something where like maybe these things don't have anything to do with each other. Like Del Toro's doing the one and this other production's doing the other. And there's a little bit of Acrimote. I don't know. But it looks pretty cool. It's got General Zod in it,
mm-hmm.
being evil.
Yep.
It's got Hidden Figures being in it, being good. It's got a bunch of other people. I mean, it's got a fish man and a woman who I've never seen before. What do you want from me? I did recognize Helen Mirren in Winchester, the house that Ghost built. This movie,
yeah.
I don't know what to say about it. Helen Mirren is Madame Winchester, mm-hmm. heir to the Winchester fortune. She has built herself a mansion with over 500 rooms, and it seems like it's always under construction, and she's always...
This is the true part.
This is the true
part.
All
of the haunting parts, probably not true.
And then, yeah, all of it being built by ghosts, since ghosts are a thing that are not real. Yes, I think that's...
But she did have a penchant, let's say, for...
A penchant?
Yeah. For construction on her home, and she had a ton of weird, like, secret passages.
Do you know about this?
Yeah,
okay,
I've read about this house.
I've read like a Ripley's Believe It or Not. Like, literally, it was like a five paragraph thing in one of their museums I've been to.
Okay, I think that's all you really need, though. Five paragraphs and you're done with.
Yeah,
going,
yeah.
Without the ghost, without like the 13 ghost shit happening, there's not much.
500 ghosts at least.
Yeah.
One for each room building. Yeah, because else why would, you know, I mean, I'm assuming they're theming it based on their own lives. Mm. I don't know. That doesn't seem like a bald movie either. Wrinkle in Time by Madeline L'Engle.
Yeah, I was super disappointed when I realized what this was.
Really?
Because I thought the setup sounded kind of interesting. Chris Pine opens some portal to let him travel faster than life, 91 million billion light years or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, okay, we're going to get a cool sci-fi idea here with Chris Pine at the front of it, and then it turned into Wrinkle in Time, and I'm like, ah, fuck. It's a YA thing.
Cecily loves this book. She's got a lot of affection. This is the book that my literature teacher tried to get me to read in 6th and 7th grade, but I think she recognized I was into science fiction, but I was reading fucking Bradbury and Asimov and Niven and like I get the Wrinkle in Time. I'm like, there's no alien sex in this, lady. Why am I wasting my time? Is this a ring world? No, it's not a fucking a wrinkle. Get the fuck out of my ring world with this shit. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to give it a shot because Cecily's going to see it anyway. But
yeah. And I'm one of those people who never read the book when I was younger.
Right.
And I think if you have, you probably have a lot more affection for this. You're probably excited about it if you read the
book.
It looks amazing.
I thought it was like some sort of Wizard of Oz take until I started realizing, oh, and I saw Oprah. I'm like, oh, this is because I remember the teaser trailer. I didn't know Chris Pine was in it. I didn't know that it's got, I mean, I thought, I don't know, because I remember reading the first, I don't know how many pages I got, and I just thought it was so fucking boring. But again, don't hate me if it's good. I was only 12 years old, you know, didn't know anything, and I still haven't read the book. The other thing that I'm kind of curious to see is maybe a bald move project just for the spectacle of it. All the Money in the World.
Oh, yeah.
Starring Marky Mark and not Kevin Spacey.
Uh-huh.
Like, I saw a trailer for this. Kevin Spacey is fucked 2 months ago. They've already replaced all the Spacey.
Holy shit.
Like it's done, and it's going to come out in like 2 or 3 weeks. Amazed. I'm amazed how fast they turned around and shit-canned Spacey on this.
Turns out Kevin Spacey pretty replaceable.
I guess so. And honestly, I think this guy looks better at it. Like, I guess the thing is, like, Kevin Spacey didn't play that old and creepy, but this guy,
I think I remember this trailer from not too long ago.
Yeah, no, totally. Because we.
It was a different trailer, though. Very different.
It was a teaser versus the actual.
Yeah, it focused a lot less on the old man being so rich but not caring as much.
This makes it seem like this old man is just really Christopher Plummer. He's the not yes. Spacey. But yeah, the way they shot it is they made it very, very clear that he's sinister, mm-hmm. which maybe means he's not.
I think he's the kidnapper.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I'm wondering if he is the kidnapper, if it's more of a There Will Be Blood, where he just has an unnaturally cold and not give a shit relationship with the son.
Could be.
And that is the trailers.
Okay.
Which means this is where we part ways with the People Are Not Club members, unfortunately, because First Run Bald Movies is financed and made possible by participation in the club. If you want to hear our spoiler-filled discussion of The Disaster Artist, as well as next week, a little film by the name of Star Wars coming out. Me and Jim, lifelong Star Wars fans, we might have some things to say in the spoiler section of that one. Mm-hmm. If you want to get in on this stuff, you got to join up at the club, club.baldmove.com. For this and many more features,